Hi everyone, and welcome to One-on-One with me, Matthew Carrigage. It's been a while since we've touched base. I hope you're all having a great start to 2023, and I look forward to bringing you more interviews. With the World Cup just around the corner in Australia and New Zealand, what better time to speak with someone that possesses international experience? My guest represented the German national team, and over a 16-year career played for some of the biggest clubs in the world, including Bayern München and AC Milan. She is the wonderful Julia Simic. I spoke with Julia to discuss her playing career and what she's up to now, and the importance of growing the game. I hope you enjoy our conversation. Julia, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us. First of all, how are you? We know that you're very busy with a lot of your duties. How are things going?
Yeah, first of all, thanks for having me, Matthew. I'm honored to be part of the podcast. I'm very good. I'm sitting in freezing cold Germany. Just right now in Fürth, in my hometown in Bavaria, south of Germany. And yeah, looking forward to speak to you.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure and a privilege. And for the occasion, not that anyone can see, but there is, of course, a Greuther Fürth jersey hanging in the gallery behind me. But we'll start with the love of the game. All of us have a passion for sport. In particular, we love football. It's a wonderful game to be a part of. Where did your love of football begin?
I would definitely say just around the corner in the park. I had the blessing that I had an older brother and still have, and we just used to go around and kick a ball in the park, really. And this is, I think, where I fell in love. I didn't need anyone to inspire me, I would say, because it was just an intrinsic motivation really for me. And I think I just fell in love immediately, where other kids would probably throw the ball. And especially back then, you would discuss a lot if it's the right sport for girls as well. So there weren't a lot of options for girls to play football. But I was actually the one who started playing football in a club first, even if my brother is 2 years older. Because a friend of mine used to go to football training, I just went with her. And this is, I think, as a kid, you don't really think of what you're doing. You just do what you love, right? And this is what I was going behind as well. Is just running after a ball was the thing that made me the happiest. And I think this is when it started, with probably 4 or 5 years. And then later, with 6, I think I joined my first football team.
That's interesting, because it's so funny how when people think of, like, oh, I went to a game, but in so many cases, it's very much just a football on a parkland, just having a kick about. It certainly brings up a lot of memories for myself. But you mentioned that you played a lot with your brother. Was there any bigger influences that may have swayed you towards playing football, not only as sort of just for fun, but also as a professional? I mean, in that period of time, there wouldn't have been a big aura around football in general for the women's game. Not as much as it's growing now, which is fantastic. But was there anyone in particular that you, I wouldn't say idolized, but very much persuaded you into making the move to be a professional career?
To be honest, it was really the men's football, actually. Even if there wasn't a lot of, what should I call it, perspective, maybe, for me as a young girl playing in the same stadiums like Zinedine Zidane, for example, did, because that was a player I loved the most and I loved watching the most. And that was probably the World Cup 98 when France won, and Zidane played unreal, and I just fell in love with him as a player. And this is how I wanted to play football as well. And I would say I didn't need, as I said already, didn't need the motivation to actually go to train and train maybe more and harder than others. I think when I was 10, I already trained 5 times a week. And when people used to ask me what I want to become, I used to say football player. And that was obviously a very strange answer, because there wasn't a platform for girls to play professional football. And since I was, I think, or until I was 14 or 15, I was dreaming of playing with the men's in the men's Bundesliga, which was obviously not realistic. And I wasn't that good, I have to admit. But no, it was just chasing a dream that wasn't really existing, but still there was a platform to play on a professional level. And I made it somehow to a professional level. And during my time, during 16 years of professional football I was playing, probably it was developing in a crazy speed as well towards professionalism. So I wouldn't call it really professional when I started with 16, but it definitely developed to a professional platform, which is happening now as well. You can see it everywhere, and it's visible everywhere, and young girls now can actually dream of full stadiums, which was different for me, but still wouldn't, hold me back from training hard and from, chasing my dream that I wouldn't know how exactly it looks like.
Yeah, I mean it's kind of crazy how in the last few years in particular we've seen such significant growth in the women's game to the point now that we've got a World Cup in Australia, which is not a particularly huge footballing market, it has to be said, Australia and New Zealand, and that the best teams from around the world are going to be coming here, which is obviously fantastic. Do you find it interesting that do you find it in a way kind of a little bit disappointing that it wasn't this way during your playing career, where we see the big games with Barca getting full attended games and all the derbies are selling out. Do you kind of wish that maybe during your career that you were fortunate to play in those situations?
I have to admit, definitely, yes. It's sometimes that we were choking around as well, girls in my age as well, that we were just born 2 years too early, to not get into that flavor of really experiencing that kind of professionalism that it just turned into now, the women's game. But for me, really, I wouldn't say I'm not jealous at all. I'm very, very happy for all these young girls, the young girls that are inspired, but also that generation that's now on the platform and now experiencing these full stadiums and this atmosphere. And I think it's every generation has a part of it, or plays a part in it. There were generations before me that were working hard that it becomes that stage that it's on now. And I think that's something where you have to put credit on as well, that there were even worse levels and harder situation and conditions for women's football, and I think it came a long way, right? And where it's now, it's hard work done by older generations, and I think now we getting in the flavor of experiencing probably the pretty sides of it as well, where you have full stadiums, where you have young fans that are cheering for you, and all this, and also money comes with it as well. You can actually dream of being a football player, and that's your job, right? For at least 10 to 15 years. And that's something I think the potential is so much still, and to exploit. And I think it's a long way still to go. And I love to be on the other side now as well to experience it and help maybe bring it further, because I think we can't stop now. And it's our duty as well to develop it to an even better game than it's now.
100%. And one thing that's become very noticeable now in especially in Germany is the bigger clubs are starting to get involved and bringing their own women's programs to the forefront, like Schalke, for example, Dortmund, Union Berlin has a team now. All of these clubs are starting to really rally around women's football and for the game to grow and to develop to the point where, they're not having to have these sort of mediocre facilities that you wouldn't have any sort of academy team play on, and the same sort of equal playing field. It's still going to take a lot of time to get there, but the steps are slowly, and I do say that, slowly getting there, but ultimately it is certainly improving from where it was 10, let alone even 5 years ago. There has been some significant growth in that area. You did play for quite a few clubs, mainly in Germany. Bayern, Potsdam, Wolfsburg, Freiburg, West Ham, AC Milan, three countries that are, let's be honest, in the top five when it comes to football leagues in general. Out of the clubs that I've mentioned, which one resonates with you most, or I guess in a better way, from your experience, what was the club you had your fondest footballing moments?
I would say Bayern Munich actually became like my home, my family at this time. I played at Bayern for 8 years, and that was my first professional team. I went there with 16. I finished school at Munich. I started doing my universal career, and I had a lot of friends there, and big surrounding also social-wise. I had my toughest injuries there, but I also got my call up for the national team for the first time there. So there were a lot of memories combined in this time, and also just being or playing for a big club like Bayern Munich. obviously did something to me. But then when I say my where I enjoyed football as well, the match that was probably West Ham, you know, because I just felt like I was always under pressure and chasing my dream, and I always wanted to play for the national team. And each game you would feel like, all right, I'll have to perform because the national team coach is there and family's there, friends are there, and obviously people know you and have a certain expectation on your performances as well. And when I went abroad to England, and that was when I was already 28, 29, I felt like I can just release myself from all this pressure and just enjoy football actually. And yeah, as the English always say, leave everything out there, right? And just go out and do your thing. And also learning a new language and being in a completely different football environment. English people are crazy with football. When you think football is already a big, big thing over here in Germany, it's even crazier in England. My 90-year-old neighbor, Deanna, her name was, she didn't even say hello to me because she was a Tottenham Hotspurs fan and I was West Ham, and they don't like each other at all. So she couldn't really bring it over her to say hello to me, which I never experienced anything like this in Germany. But yeah, that was a time also the WSL, the Women's Super League over there, how it's called, the pendant to the Premier League. It's going crazy, professional as well. Clubs investing a lot into the women's side. And this is something I never experienced in Germany as well, that all 12 teams in the league are on a very professional level. So I enjoyed that as well, that all these players playing for these different 12 clubs are professionals. And that's something I enjoyed a lot, that you just have that professional environment.
Let's talk about your time with the Hammers and maybe compare it to how different the environment was in Germany. Obviously, you mentioned the first thing was having to learn the English language to begin with to communicate with your teammates and just having that sort of quality of living within that new country. How different, in your opinion, how different was it? That culture shock going from, spending a good majority of your career in Germany, then heading to play in the Super League. How much of a culture shock was that for you when you first started, and even towards the end of your time in England? How different was it, and was it easy for you to adjust, or were there some challenges along the way?
Definitely challenges. I would say I'm kind of pretty adventurous anyway in my nature, so I love that challenge. And I knew what I'm doing here. I'm going abroad, and my dad can't come to every home or away game anymore. And little things would obviously be affected by me playing abroad now. But and also you can't just drive home; you had to fly home, and it was just also not being home anymore in your home country. It's something. But actually learning a new language. We all speak pretty good English over here in Germany. We have it in school, and it wasn't like I didn't understand anything. That was probably when I went to Milan in Italy, where you have to learn from scratch. But there I was able to communicate, I was able to talk, have conversations, and understand. But still, the Cockney slang some people had over there, that's a London slang in English. And also players speaking with each other also in the dressing room, you wouldn't understand every single word. So it was still. There was still a language barrier to really click as well and bond with your teammates. But I think the fact that there were, I think, 13 foreign players coming in at this time for West Ham, and we were all over the world and a bit over the place as well, it was pretty easy to connect with everyone. And I think I was very lucky to be in that environment. And this is why I said I enjoyed West Ham so much. It was honestly, it was like a little family, because we had Canadians, we had Dutch players, we had Swiss players, we had players from all over the world, and we actually only had each other, especially in the beginning. And this was probably making it easier for everyone to just integrate a lot easier. But still, as I said, it's different. It's different to just go for grocery shopping or driving on the other side. I had my German car over there, which is on the other side. The wheeling chair, and then you drive on the other side, and every time I had to get a ticket out of the machine, I had to lean over my whole car to just get the ticket out. And there were little challenges in my daily life as well I had to face. But altogether, it was a very interesting time, and also a very personality shaping time for me as well.
Amazing. I love that. It's I see, I love hearing those kinds of stories and experiences, and it does bring me to your time in Italy, albeit quite short in its nature. What attracted you to go play for the Rossoneri? I mean, it's obviously quite a massive club in the fabric of Italian football. To go, you played at Bayern, which is the biggest club in Germany, to make the switch from West Ham to AC Milan. What led you to that decision?
That was a very surprising move for myself as well. I was at this time at West Ham. COVID kicked in the last year. In the second year, I was just back from an injury again, playing again, but not very good. My knee was, screaming for me to stop playing because I had a couple of injuries and two ACL injuries and seven operations on that left knee, and it was just also time for me to stop. And I thought West Ham is definitely my last adventure in my career, and after this I'm stopping. And I retired, actually. That was in March or April this year. And then I think I didn't do anything for 2 months, 2.5 months probably. I was out, I wasn't running anymore. I was just struggling with my knee, even in my just walking, my daily life. And I thought, okay, that's it really for me. And then the call came from AC Milan if I'm looking or if I could imagine playing for them. And I told them, look, I'm more or less invalid, like I can't play anymore. And they were very confident that they would get my knee to a point where I can play again and make it back to the pitch. So after thinking about that really in depth, I said, all right, give it a go. It's your last chance, take it or leave it. And why not trying it? Because the whole world stopped anyway at this time. I could work for the DFB at this time, for the German Association as a coach, but there weren't any camps at this time because, as I said, the world stopped, the football was stopping, apart from the professional level. And this is when I thought, all right, maybe it's a perfect time for me as well to just go and try it. And then it was actually okay at one point. I played, I think, six games at the end, and I didn't think I'd play even one anymore. And so I was very happy to have had that chance, even for playing for such a big club. Maldini was there on a regular basis to watch our games, and all the other CEOs from Milan, because the Italian league was just developing and progressing as well. Now it's also a professional league since this year, and it's as you said, slow steps in all different leagues, and Italy is still a couple of steps behind. But now with Juventus and AS Roma in the Champions League, they have strong teams now and good quality in their league, and I'm just happy to play the little part of this and just experience football again and another language for myself as well.
That's amazing. So you've actually hung up the boots after, let's be frank, a very illustrious career, spanning, over 16 seasons. There's obviously heaps of moments to take out from your playing career. Is there one that sticks out the most?
I won a couple of trophies in Germany. Winning something and titles is something outstanding, I would say. That's probably the best feeling you can have. And that's the reason why you're playing, right? You want to win something, you want to be as successful as possible. But to be honest, as I mentioned before, my surgeries and my injuries played a big part and had a big impact on me. And every time, and I remembered going on the pitch after my first injury. My first ACL injury when I was out for 7 months. And I stepped on the pitch and I had goosebumps all over my body. And I can't explain that moment as well, but I didn't know that it was that emotional for me because I was just like warming up and I was in the zone and kind of in a flow as well and just focusing. And all of a sudden, as I stepped on the pitch, I had goosebumps for 2 minutes and it would not stop. And it was such a weird feeling, but I think just coming back from injuries is and making your comeback game, and it's different to going back on the pitch training than playing a game again, is had a big impact on me emotionally and personally. And I think also knowing what you were doing in the last 7 months is something that's paying off in this moment. And that's something I would say I have deeper feelings in this moment than winning any titles, because it was just my work and what I've done and going through tough times myself alone, more or less, and then making it back is something hard to describe, but I think with the goosebumps it can be described the best.
I really felt that. That's amazing. You also represented the national team. It would be a miss for me to not talk about the fact that you represented the German national team on several occasions. Do you recall when you got the call up to the national team, and how did it feel to get onto the pitch, wearing the nation's colours? Obviously, it's quite a distinguished honour. A lot of ex-internationals always talk about how important it is to represent the national team. From your personal experience, how did it make you feel?
To be honest, I have to explain that a little bit because I made my debut, in my opinion, 6 years too late. As I was having my debut game with 26, and that's quite an age, right? To play for your country for the first time, at least on a senior level. I got my first call up when I was 20, and this is when I actually injured myself and got my ACL injury in the first training session. I think after 40 minutes, I was just turning around and twisting, and my leg just completely stuck in the ground. And I straight away knew that didn't sound good and this didn't feel good. And this is when I was out for 7 months and then re-ruptured my ACL again. So I was out another, I think, 1.5 years. So in total, I was out for almost 2.5 years at this time. And that was when I was 20. So it took me 6 years after my ACL injury, my first ACL injury, to actually make my debut and get my game. I was waiting for such a long time, right? And I just obviously it melt, felt or it made myself feel like completely proud and just pleased as well. But also there was a big relief that I can finally get this game done, and it's still happening, because at one point I thought as well, all right, might never happen anymore. And it was again my biggest dream to play for my country. I had the chance to play for Croatia as well, and Davor Šuker called me once and wrote me several emails as a president for the Croatian federation. But I obviously felt German. I was born in Germany, so I knew it has to be Germany as well that I play for. And yeah, that was the game. Then it was also in Bavaria, in Ingolstadt, where I played my first game. And my dad was there, my mom was there, my brother was there, a couple of friends were there, and I was just going to see them after the game, and a bit speechless because we were all like, finally, it's done. With not saying I didn't really feel it emotionally. It was just I was waiting for that a long time, and it felt like a big, big relief, but also very emotional and yeah, outstanding feeling.
That's amazing. I love that so much, and thank you for sharing that. It's a obviously there are a lot of ups and downs to get to that moment, but yeah, we should talk about what you're doing now. Broadcasting with Sky DAZN and doing a lot of commentary with the Bundesliga World Feed now, the DFL. When did that opportunity come about? We'll start with the stuff with Sky and DAZN. We see you doing a lot of analyst work, which you do fantastically, by the way. How did
Thank you.
that? Oh, hey, compliments where they're due. It's always great to get you, whether it's in the German language or in English, bringing a lot of meaningful analysis to the game. How did those opportunities come about? Because obviously, when you say goodbye to the game, which is always a very difficult situation to call an end to something like a footballing career, how did those opportunities come about? And was it something that you wanted to pursue post-football playing career?
So for me, the logical step out of football and not leaving the stage completely was being a coach, and that was what I was doing straight away. I was hanging my boots up, and months later, I had my first camp with the under-17 female national team here in Germany, which I'm working with a good friend who's the head coach. I'm an assistant coach, and Melanie Behringer, another former German international, is another assistant coach, and we're quite a good team as well, and I love to work with them. And from time to time, there came a couple of options for me to do several things on TV, like the Women's Champions League that was broadcasted and streamed on DAZN and on YouTube. And here in Germany, they also had a female experts on these games now that it's also their female game that we were talking about. And it was great to have that platform and also to get my foot into a new area as well, and out of my comfort zone, definitely, but at least in my language, right, in my mother tongue, in German. And so I felt very comfortable doing that and commentating on games and also analyzing games, because that's also the role I'm doing for the under 17s team, that I'm always analyzing the opponents. So it felt like a bit in place with each other. And then DAZN made the move with me to commentate on the men's Bundesliga, which was quite like brand new. No other girls would do that, really, at least not on a regular base. And it slowly started to opening some doors for me also into the men's game, which was nothing I was always dreaming about. I have to say that as well. And this was maybe why I was so relaxed with this as well, because that wasn't my dream or my goal to get into that business, right? It was more or less like, cool, another option. Of course, I'm doing it. It's challenging, but I feel I can do it. Sorry. And this is when I started enjoying that a lot as well. It was a lot of effort. It took me 1.5 weeks to just prepare for one game, a lot of research, analysis in advance, and also getting into, because football fans and men's, they know everything about their club. So you have to be prepared in depth. And I knew if I'm making and putting myself out there, I have to be prepared as best as possible. So this is when it really got to me. And then the offer from Sky came, if I want to be part of the top match every Saturday at 6:30, this in German time, and next to Lothar Matthäus, who's the expert there for seven years, I think now. So I know that platform from always watching it, and now I could be a part of it and can be a part of it. So it was also for me like, how can I compare or combine these different roles, my coaching role with the TV role as well. On top of this, I have an own academy which I do projects with as well. So it was a lot different options and opportunities, but also chances for me I wanted to take, obviously. And since this season, I'm working with Lothar, alongside Lothar, and commentating and analyzing the men's Bundesliga once a week. And this is when the DFL offer came as well, if I'm confident enough to also do it in English. And speaking about the German Bundesliga and for the world feed out to the world, and that was probably my biggest challenge. I'm doing this since 4 weeks now, or 3 weeks now, since the restart from the Bundesliga came. And it's actually a lot of fun, very challenging, but as I said at the beginning, I love these challenges. I don't know why, and I attract these challenges as well. Every time I sit there just before it starts, I'm like, why did I do this again now? And then, but after this, gets so much adrenaline as well, and you feel like it's good to always leave your comfort zone, right? And now I'm very privileged, I would say, to have all these options, and I love doing all these different projects. I can't choose one at the moment, because people ask me all the time, what's the main focus on? It's everything, because I love everything the same, probably.
I love it. That's awesome. Also want to talk about your coaching. You mentioned you were doing stuff with the U17 side. Someone like yourself, who was a very dynamic midfielder with lots of energy, brought a lot of intensity to your game. How difficult has it been to transition from being a player who has your sole responsibilities as a midfielder, being very transitional, having to be strong not only in build-up play and progressing the ball forward, but also within your defensive responsibilities? How difficult has it been to transition from having your sole sort of objectives and things that you need to do versus being a part of a coaching team and having to analyze all aspects of the game?
I wouldn't say it was difficult. It was exciting and it was tough as well. It was very challenging because it's completely different. As a player, you think, oh, coaching is easy. You just put a couple of sessions out and do a couple of drills, and from time to time you coach a bit, and then you pick your starting 11 or something, and then you're not happy with as a player, and then you complain a bit. And it's so tough as a coach, because you think of every single situation and possible situation at least 3 times in advance before it happens. And it's basically, I thought, wow, how much work do you have to put into only one single training session as well? Because we were sitting in the coach's office for hours the whole day, and this is what we do now, right? And it's talking football the whole day, and it's brilliant, but it's also hard work because you just never switch off. And I think that's a bit the idea of coaching as well, right? Because you just breathe football every single minute of the day, really. And it's great, because what I found very challenging next to playing actively was also losing your team environment when you left the pitch and when you left that area. And what I was finding there straight away was a team again, and that helped me a lot from transitioning out of the game into the game in a new role. And yeah, for me it was very important to work with a good group of people, which I'm definitely doing, and it was very, very easy for me. And yeah, not a big step to actually be connected with the girls, even if they're a bit younger. And I can still understand football from a player's perspective a lot, I would say. And it's just the more you're out, probably the less it is the case. But as I was just actually playing, and I could definitely understand all the thoughts of and worries and probably fears as well of these young players playing, and why they do certain things on the pitch and why they wouldn't do other things, and kind of also being in their mind a bit, I found easy. And it was cool because it was, yeah, we were clicking very easy. We had good tournaments as well. We were playing the Euros. We won the Euros with the team. We then went to the World Cup to India, which was great, and which was a great first year for me, with coaching, right? And it was such an ambitious group of girls who were connecting very well. And for me, being on the pitch now, it's definitely different than it was as being there as a player. But it's cool. You find yourself and you also develop yourself as a coach, I think, forever. Because I can't say like I'm this kind or this kind of coach. I would say I'm definitely in a process, and I love finding myself also in that role, who I am and who I want to be, and what kind of, yeah, role I want to be have for the girls as well, because I think I'm always very approachable, and we very much live that philosophy, with that open door philosophy, I would say.
I sense a head coach in the making. Is that something that you would be interested in pursuing down the line?
Not sure, you know. I love that kind of assistant coach role at the moment, in that second line, more or less. You're still part of the decision making, right? But it's at the end, it's the head coach who's doing the final decision, and I'm there to help both my head coach, which is a good friend of me as well, but also the players. And I want to be somewhere in between, where you can be very, very close to players in a way where you can try to understand them and also probably talk to them in a different way than when you're the head coach. I think that's a very, yeah, different definition in terms of your role, whether you're a head coach or only an assistant coach. I think it's still a tough role, because you have to find the balance. And also, you also have to be on the same page like your head coach, because you can't have three different opinions as with three different coaches. You have to go and swim with the same philosophy, more or less, which sometimes probably isn't yours, but you still have to accept it and go with it. And I think it's very interesting, and it's even better if you understand yourself very well in the coaching team to then also go out and speak the same language. But at the moment, I would say I'm happy with the assistant coaching role, also being able to do other projects at the same time, because I'm a bit, yeah, further behind in the responsibility. So I can do different things. I can be on TV, I can do my own academy, and all these things I probably couldn't do when I was a head coach.
Interesting. You mentioned your academy. Let's talk about it. What was the main motivation behind creating your academy?
Always really had that idea of having my own academy to just give opportunities to girls. And I always knew it's a girls' academy. So football training for girls only, where they can shine, where they can be on, yeah, in the limelight, on the platform, focused on them. And that's something I never had as a kid. I was playing with the boys until I was 16. And I would definitely recommend this to every other talented young girl out there, to play with the boys. Which doesn't mean that you can't have further options to play with girls. But the main thing is to have a good level every day in and day out, with like good football sessions. And obviously, as there are so many boys playing football, definitely, naturally and automatically is higher finding good boys teams than finding very good girls teams at the moment. So we also recommend these to our young players, that they go out and find a good boys team where they can develop the best. But with this academy, I slowly start to know what I want to do with this. It's like I was in South Africa last year, I was in Pittsburgh last year. I'm going to the UK beginning of March, and now I'm taking someone with me, a camera team as well. It's with Sky at the moment, Sky Germany, to also deliver good training sessions
Nice.
for young girls, and also help them developing and what they can train on, and also girl specific training sessions, because I always thought what happens a lot in women's football is that you just copy boys' academies programs on girls' academies, which is different because we're different, we have different developments. Let's just say it like that. There's no 14-year-old boy having his menstruation for the first time and facing challenges coming with it and developing in a different way. And it's just something girls need to be open about, and also coaches need to know about this, because what we also do as well, or what I want to do as well, is giving coaches a little education piece of how to train girls in the best way possible, right? And also getting girls co into coaching, because that's something as well, leaving your comfort zone and being in front of a group, speaking, coaching, leading is something in the nature of some girls is not there. So sometimes they need a pulling hand to get them into that role where they can actually shine and get out their full potential, because there's so many gifted girls. You just have to sometimes push them a bit, and I want to be that mentor for girls as well, that I say, look, I've done it, so you can do it definitely as well. And you just have to start somewhere and sometimes leave your comfort zone to actually see what's in you. And all this together, I want to bring to different countries, and also at the same time learn from countries, for example in South Africa, what is their idea, how do they coach, when do they coach what is the access for young girls into sport, do they, and into football as well, where can they train, are they having opportunities and options. And we did a very nice little camp in Cape Town for more or less township girls. They don't have a lot, they didn't even have boots as well, most of them, they came barefoot, and it was a completely new experience for me as well. They would just do the shooting drills barefoot, and I was like, wow, it must hurt so much, but they were so tough and they were so happy as well. And that's something, just speaking about this, I get goosebumps again, not 2 minutes like at my comeback, but at least a bit, because I feel football has so much to offer, but you have to go out there sometimes and see it and also experience it and not just be in your bubble every single day. And this is something what I want to achieve with my academy and reach as well, is going, learning from other countries, other cultures, and also putting it on camera to also make something more sustainable and long term, and also start having projects in different countries and get the ball rolling, for example, even for the young South African girls, that they have regular football training sessions and the options and opportunities to shine as well.
This is amazing. I look forward to tracking all of that progress from the academy to what you're doing in broadcasting, what you're doing in coaching. Everything is fantastic. Yuli, you've been an absolute blessing to come onto the podcast. Thank you so much. And where can our lovely listeners find you on social media to give you a follow and keep up with what you're doing?
Everywhere. I'm on Instagram, I'm on Twitter, I'm on, what is it, LinkedIn. I started doing a TikTok now, which I thought I'm definitely too old for this, but my mom forced me a bit into that, I have to admit. But yeah, I'm on everything and quite posting a lot, but I think for me it's fun, so I love to show a bit of my daily life.
Amazing. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it, and we wish you all the best with your future endeavors.
Thank you so much for having me.
This was undoubtedly one of my favorite interviews to be a part of. I can feel the passion Yulia has for the game and how important it is to change the system to ensure that we aren't operating in a one-size-fits-all. It was enlightening to hear about how she overcame injuries on several occasions to play the game she loves. Thank you, Yulia, for being such an outstanding guest. I can't wait to see what you do through coaching, your academy, and hearing you on the airwaves. I'll be back soon with a new episode. Until then, check out all episodes of One on One and articles onto the Zweite Bundesliga, Formula One, and more on my brand new website, www.matthewcarriage.com. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you soon when One on One returns.